Fuck yeah, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's, the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast on the internet. I am one of your hosts, Josh, here with my best bud, John.
Wait, I'm not going by John today. You must refer to me during this episode as Turd Ferguson.
All right, Turd Ferguson. How are you doing today?
Bro, the turd is back. I'm great, and I'm smellier than ever.
Sweet, sweet. I like it. I hope there's no corn stuck in you, but we'll see how it goes.
That was a corny joke.
It was. So, we did two episodes last week, folks. We're here to do another two episodes this week. I hope you're excited. We're just about to wrap season three. And then we're going to be getting into some How I Met Your Father coming up next week.
Yeah. So it's gonna we're gonna wrap up season three like Josh and I unwrap deli meat. That's right. We're going to bring it to you cold.
There it is, folks. I take that however you feel. I'm not sure how I'm going to take that, but we'll see.
You're going to take that on white bread with probably a slice of provolone and some lettuce, knowing you.
No, I prefer the wheat bread, Turd. I prefer the wheat bread.
Oh, I forgot you're a wheat bread. But yeah, he's gonna throw some lunch meat on there. He's going to throw some cheese on there. He's going to put probably some lettuce on there. Because Josh likes mayonnaise, he's going to put some fucking mayo on there.
Fuck yeah, maybe some Miracle Whip instead.
Probably a small fucking salt guy sprinkle of pepper.
I have never salt and peppered a sandwich. I know that's a thing that some people do. I've seen that on like cooking shows before, but I've never done that.
The only one I've ever done it with is turkey. Yeah. But it's got to be turkey from, like, Thanksgiving turkey, not just, like, random lunch meat turkey. Not the same.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe I'll try it sometime. But we're not here to cook you guys a meal. No, no, no. We are here to talk about How I Met Your Mother, specifically Season 3, Episode 19, Everything Must Go. That's right. This episode debuted originally on May 12th of 2008.
And was
directed by Pamela Fryman.
Be Fry!
Written by Jonathan Groff and Chris Harris. I was listening to the commentary. Apparently, it seems like Jonathan Groff did a bit more of the work on this one than Chris did.
I know the name John Groff for some reason, and I cannot pinpoint it.
I'm sure that he's done something that you... I mean, I know that we have mentioned his name before, obviously, but I'm sure that he's done some other stuff. Let's take a quick look here, folks. You know, sometimes you do things on the fly.
Instead of Bright,
if this is the same guy that I'm looking at, it might be. Let me verify. Looks like there is a Broadway person whose name is Jonathan Groff.
Oh, I wonder if that's what I'm thinking of. Was that Jonathan Groff on Glee?
Let me see. He's definitely in Hamilton. I see that.
Hamilton story.
Okay.
My kid knows the music of Hamilton.
Yes, it was on Glee as Jesse St. James.
Bam! I knew the name Jonathan Groff! Fuck yeah! I own that shit!
It's not the same Jonathan Groff, but there it is.
Well, give me credit. I knew the name Jonathan Groff, and I knew it was linked to Glee.
Hell's yeah,
the
man.
The fact that
good.
Is now being recorded and used in this episode. Damn it!
Oh, that was good. This Jonathan Groff, he did three episodes of How I Met Your Mother. He did I'm Not That Guy earlier in this season, and then he goes on next season to do The Possimpable.
Oh, I like The Possimpable.
Yeah, that's a good one. He wrote an episode of Scrubs. It was Our Drunk Friend.
Oh, that's a good one. That's the Colin Farrell episode.
No. This is a different one. This is from season 9. It's the second episode of season 9.
Oh, shit. So not the one I was thinking.
No, yeah. I know what you're thinking of, which is a fantastic episode.
He called me pretty, or he called me Bunny.
He called me Bunny. Also wrote on Happy Endings, which was a great show, Blackish, and then some of the How to Train Your Dragon Netflix stuff that they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he did some stuff, you know.
Yeah. He's been around.
He's been around the block a few times, John.
Oh, man, I didn't mean to derail us that bad. I'm sorry.
No, man, because that was good, because now everybody knows just how much you love Glee.
I mean...
Oh, damn. But hey.
Can we just take this from the top?
you can't. Hey, no. Hey there, mother lovers. No, nobody can say that you don't know your Glee actors there.
I was like, because I was originally going to be like, wasn't that Jesse St. James? And I was like, I know, I can't. I was like, but I'm pretty sure that was a guy on Glee.
Hey, you were right. There you go, sir. All right, so the summary for this one. To avoid having to sell her clothes to pay to fix her apartment, Lily tries to sell her artwork. Barney learns who has been sabotaging his attempts to pick up girls and uses the opportunity to strike a blow at Ted. Yeah.
It's kind of funny because, I mean, it's a good synopsis, but there's just a little missing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you gotta have a little intrigue, a little mystery, you know? You don't want to give it all away.
Unless so, you're Abby.
There you go. Speaking of Abby, according to the commentary, the Mystery Woman storyline was actually written and shot before the introduction of Abby. So when the show came out, it was 10 sessions and then the bracket.
Okay.
That's how it aired.
Yeah. But
apparently it was written and shot the other way around.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so... when they first did it,
they didn't know who the blonde was going to be.
Yeah, they weren't intending it to be this Abby character. It's just, it kind of became that. Because they didn't really know at first. They were just like, we're going to do this. We'll figure out, kind of, we'll decide later on who it's going to be. That's why when they shot it, the woman that goes to Lily has like kind of like wavy, curly-ish hair. As opposed to the straight hair. They had to reshoot that scene because they show it.
Yeah, again,
they reshot that scene to have and actually put Britney Spears.
I mean, it makes sense
in the shot with this. So I thought that was really interesting. All right, so the episode starts off with future Ted revisiting Barney's problem of getting slapped by women for no apparent reason
over and over.
We get to see those three previous instances from before, and we get a new one here where he uses the plot of Jaws to hit on some woman.
Yeah, I thought that was really fucking hilarious.
Just like, dude, really? It's like, you have to really hope that she's never seen Jaws. I mean,
depending on, because this was 2007, 2008? No.
Yeah,
2008,
yeah.
Yeah. So, you figure, a lot of people in 2007, 2008 who were in their 20s didn't give a shit about Jaws unless they were, like,
yeah,
big movie fans.
You're right. That is true. So for him, probably a decent chance that she hadn't seen Jaws. And obviously she had. And so, you know, he gets slapped. You know, he walks to the bar, comes back, gets slapped in the face, and he spots the woman, this mystery blonde woman, and he chases her down the street. First, he bumps into a different blonde woman in a purple dress, which I think is funny. The dress, purple. We get our purple sighting, you know? And it's a completely, it's not her, but he still tries to hit on her, which is, you know, classic Barney.
Classic Barney.
But then he sees her and he chases her down and he jumps onto the cab, which is great. A lot of cabs. You know, in these episodes that we're doing here, in these two episodes, a lot of cab work going on.
Well, it's pre-Ranjit being like their perma driver.
That's true. So he jumps on the cab and lo and behold, he sees it's Abby in there.
I love that he calls her Amy.
He calls her Amy. It's Amy. Abby.
Now here's my real question though. We're gonna back up a little bit to him running the play.
Yeah.
So he's using the plot of Jaws. Mm-hmm. Did he say we're gonna need a bigger boat?
I mean, I feel like I don't think he did say that, but I feel like he would say something like, something more along the lines of like, his boat is big enough, you know, his penis as the boat.
If I'm not going to lie, if I was running the play, I'd be like, You know, it was crazy. We were out there that day. We were on the waters. That shark came up and ripped our boat in half. And I knew right then we were going to need a bigger boat.
Now, see, that would have been great.
Like, that's how I would probably work it.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, you know, I'd work the rest of it where I was like, you know, like, we were going to be damned if we do, damned if we don't. We were going to take that shark down. It was not going to terrorize our town anymore. We lost a lot of good men out there on the field that day.
A lot of lives lost. Now, here's what I wonder. So we talked last time about the playbook, or not the playbook. We talked about the bro code.
Yep.
And I was trying to remember, okay, well, I know that they did publish another book, and I realized, like, I looked it up after the fact and sent it to you, that it is the playbook. You can get the playbook.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this Jaws play is in the playbook.
I'm not going to lie. I'm half tempted to order both of them for my book collection anyway.
I mean, they're so cheap. One was like 10 bucks and the other was like 15, I think. It's like, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you get them as a combo set, they're probably a little cheaper.
Yeah, maybe. You know, so I mean, that's not bad. But yeah, I really want to know.
I would love to sit down with them and like maybe like one of those times like where we don't Well, maybe we could do like an after hours and like I'll skim through the book.
Yeah, it could be fun. Could be real fun. Could do a series on it, you know, just going through the plays and going through the bro code and stuff, checking everything out. It'd be fun, I think. Let us know, guys. Hop on to Twitter at Last Call HIMYM. Is that something that you would be interested in?
Do you want to hear me read to you? I'll do it in my sexy voice.
There he is.
I sound like Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'll read just like this. With no enthusiasm in my voice at all. Booyah.
Honestly, you sounded a little bit more like the State Farm guy. I think it's State Farm.
No, yeah, are you talking...
Whichever one.
State Farm. Well, you're talking Allstate.
Allstate, that's what it is, yeah. The Allstate guy. Who was also in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Didn't he play Holt's brother?
Not brother, but it was like a friend of his or like a mentor or something like that. Like, yeah.
It's been a while since I watched Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about How I Met Your Mother.
It's true. It's true. So we then flash over to Lily's classroom. And she's being constantly shown pretty much the same picture of a rainbow by the same little girl. She's enthusiastic every time, but as future Ted talks about, you know, you can do something 1,000 times, but that 1,001st time that you get it wrong, that's when things go bad.
Listen, I love when Lily's like, oh, another rainbow.
Aren't you getting sick of these?
They go back to the current time, and it's what Ted says that makes the moment. I love that Ted comes home, he's like, oh, how was your day? And she's like, oh, I made a kindergartner cry for painting a rainbow. And Ted's like, a rainbow? Sounds like that bitch had it coming.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, say what you will about Ted overall. He can be a real asshole. Great moment, though.
Yeah, man. He's always got his friends' backs. You know what I mean?
Always.
even if that means putting down like a 5-year-old little girl.
I mean, there are definitely moments in the series where like Ted's an unintentional asshole, but it comes around to be like, hilarious, like this moment.
Yeah.
Or one of the big ones that always sticks out for me, well, more than sticks out, it kind of drops out, is the whole cooked poo.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's not him being an intentional dick. That's him thinking the class pulls a prank on him.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be that he comes off as a straight asshole.
It does make him
And the one that makes it even worse is at the very end when Wendy comes out with the food and she's like, I got an order for cooked poo. And he goes, oh, great. Now you got Wendy the waitress in on it. And Poo's like,
eh. Yep. Oh, man. That's a good one. I can't. I can't wait till we get up into those episodes. It's going to be good times. So we go through that. Yeah, like you said, we head over to the apartment where she, you know, she's talking to Ted about stuff. And then Marshall walks in. He's got some bad news.
Dude, he's got bad news. lose.
It's going to cost them a whole lot more than they anticipated to fix the slanted floor in their apartment, and which they already can't really afford.
No.
And so Marshall suggests that Lily start selling her designer clothes.
That's not how he words it at first.
No, it's not.
He says you're going to need to start selling your stuff. And her response is classic. Well, that's just the game we play in the bedroom.
Yes.
And I have questions.
Okay, let's hear those questions.
My question. How much are you selling your stuff for?
Talking to me?
Yeah. Going price. If somebody, if you were to name a price right now, that somebody could be like, listen, how much to have sex? No questions asked. What are you telling them?
Honestly, my price is probably lower than it used to be. Just because I'm kind of, you know, been broke for a while. I mean, a couple grand. I think I'd be good for that.
Couple grand, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair.
I mean, unless it's somebody who I'm like, oh, I'd do you for free like that. You know what I mean? Then I'll bring that price down.
Oh, shit.
I think I killed him, folks. I think I killed him.
I wasn't expecting that.
Now, what about you?
Oh, fuck, man. 95% of the time, I'm free. I don't give a shit. I have fun. I mean, I don't give a shit. It's a fun time for everybody involved, usually. So, I mean, like, let's snap, crackle, and pop that case open and have a good time. Now, if it's on the other hand, where a guy was to hit me up and say, you know, how much for a good time? Mouth to mouth.
Give me a couple grand. We'll be good.
I mean, I once saw a movie where Jason Mewes was sucking dick in a bathroom for $10 a pop because they needed gas money.
It's true. You got to go. You got to get what you got to get when you got to go and where you got to go. It's as simple as that, man. It's the unwritten rule of the road, man.
Yep.
Unwritten rule of the road.
Oh, man.
Yes, yes. All right. So, like I said, he suggests that she start selling her clothes. And he's even made a website. Lily and Marshall sell their stuff.com.
But that's not fair, though, because Marshall ain't selling anything.
I mean, that's as far as we know, yeah. As far as we know, he's not. He's like, nobody would want to buy my, and I remember what it's some sort of bowling shirt.
Yeah.
I love
that.
And his Ted's like, dude, he's like, I'm not going to sell it, man. But yeah, realistically.
Split happens.
Yeah. Split happens bowling shirt. That's what it is. But yeah, realistically, he's not actually selling, as far as we know, anything. But
I love Lily's counter, though, about the name of the website. Make a website.
It's guy forces his wife to dress in a garbage bag for the next 3 years.com.
Yeah.
And at one time, both of these sites were real.
I do remember the first one, the Marshall and Lily sell their stuff.
Yeah, that site they actually used as an auction site where they auctioned off actual wardrobe from the show.
Yeah.
For a children's hospital charity. So they were actually selling Lily's clothes like they were doing on the show. But yeah, the other one it was real. Neither of them are accessible anymore.
I mean, that makes sense.
The other one was real and it had like pictures of the guy with his wife in the trash bag. I'll put them up in the video so people can see them. But yeah, because like you can still find them like on Reddit and stuff, and just like if you Google search or whatever, you can find some of the pictures. So they're pretty funny. I remember going to that site. There was so many sites that they made for this.
I was gonna say, I remember at one point, me and you used to sit down and we would circle through the sites once in a blue moon.
Yeah,
and I do remember. I remember it. I just don't remember much about it. It wasn't one of those ones.
There's quite a few of them that just aren't functional anymore. Which is sad, but...
I mean, I'm sure they don't want to pay for the domain names for all these websites that, you know...
Yeah, it would have been nice if they, like, put them back up after How I Met Your Father started, because, like, it gave increased interest, you know, in How I Met Your Mother, I'm sure. I think it would have been cool. like CanadianSexActs.org. It's not accessible anymore.
What would have been really cool is if they'd have made a master website that could have had all of it somehow.
Where it's just like you click a tab and it takes you to the next page of it or whatever. It's just all on one.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty awesome, actually. Just like some sort of archive site would have been good. You know, I don't know. I would have loved to have had that ability, or if somebody else had just like archived everything with like screenshots of every page and put that up somewhere.
That would have been really cool.
If anybody out there knows whether or not that exists, I couldn't find anything like that specifically. But that would be fantastic to find some of that stuff, because as we go through this, I'm going to want to, you know, look at some of these and show people the stuff, because it was really cool when it was going down.
Hells yeah.
So we flash back over to Barney and Abby in the cab, and she's explaining that the reason that she's been sabotaging Barney's love life is because he slept with her and never called, which confuses him, because he's like, that's it?
Yeah.
Like, you should be lucky that that's all.
Yeah. You were left on dry land with a place to go and stuff. What's the matter?
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's literally what he does with everybody.
Yep.
Pretty much, you know?
It's, yep. It's
one night stand territory, but she is far too, I don't wanna say crazy, but a little bit.
I mean, Abby is definitely, I don't know if I would go as far to say she's crazy. She's eccentric.
She's something, man. She is something.
I mean, this is still Britney though, when she was like, I know this is like post 07, like meltdown and like shaved all her hair off Britney. But she looks good in these episodes. Like,
oh, absolutely.
So it's like, yeah. It kind of sucks that as Abby, she gets like the shit treatment, because like, she seems like the kind of girl who you could really be happy with.
She does lean a little heavy to one side on the crazy hot scale, though.
I mean, you're right. The hotness is like amazingly like,
like that point has to be pretty high up on the chart.
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
You know what I mean?
She's in that that Mendoza area. And I mean, yeah. Britney Spears is right there with her at that point, you know.
It's true. It's very true. She's also upset that Ted, you know, who she claims is the love of her life, started dating her boss Stella instead of her. Because, you know, she just assumed that would happen after she chased him down the street that one day.
imagine that being the love story. This one time I chased your dad down the street.
Oh, my God. Dude, that would have been hilarious if they had done, you know how they do it later on with Robin?
Oh, yeah.
Where they kind of started it off where it's like she's telling the side. But it's, you know, how funny would it have been if they did that with Abby? And it was just like, she's just like talking to like dolls or something. I think that would have been fantastic.
What would make that even better is they make you think she's talking to somebody, but there's nobody there. Like, she's really going mental.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that she's been in an insane asylum, just looking at a padded wall in like a straitjacket.
That would have been fun to have seen later on in the series, something like that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Barney also vents a bit about Ted, you know, ditching him and everything. And he and Abby admit, you know, to hating Ted, even though, you know, she really doesn't hate Ted. She hates and loves him at the same time. You know what I mean? And then they wind up sleeping together
again.
Yeah. You know, cause I mean, Barney's like breaking his own rules.
You know? I mean, he's admitted before though. He's went back to the same check on multiple occasions. It takes a lot for him.
I mean, I don't think it took that much here.
I think it's just
he's mad enough at Ted, and she was like, now I'm horny, let's do it. That was pretty much that was it for him, man. Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you reach for a Cheeto, things get hard, and you just go for it anyway.
There you go, folks. I don't know what you want to call that play, but there it is.
Cheeto does.
He just dusted his own Cheetos.
Cheese balls.
There it is, folks. Perfect name. Cheese balls. Write it down. So then we head over to the apartment. The gang is going through Lily's stuff, and Ted questions whether Lily has actually worn most of it, to which Robin says, I doubt that there's definitely something that you haven't worn, Ted, in your closet. And she's referring to the red cowboy boots. This is the introduction to the red cowboy boots.
Dude, they are so new. They're still fucking shiny.
They are shiny, man. I love, that he's like, I can pull them off. He comes out with them on, kicks his foot up. It's great. He has such confidence when he wears those boots.
What reason he bought those?
Didn't they? I feel like they show us at some point in the series.
I remember him having them for something, but I don't exactly remember for what.
I don't honestly remember what it was, though, but I'm pretty sure they show us the origin of the boots.
Maybe.
At some point. We'll have to keep an eye on.
The weird thing is that, like, I know plenty of people who have owned cowboy boots and, like, wore cowboy boots as a regular. I mean, shit, I went through a phase in high school where I wore biker boots for a year. I don't know if you remember that or not. I had those Harley boots.
Honestly, I don't.
I thought I was the coolest shit. But I know this for a fact, and that is that nice cowboy boots, like really good cowboy boots, one, are not cheap.
Yeah.
Two, I have never seen straight red cowboy boots.
I've only ever seen straight red cowboy boots on kids' boots. Like when I was looking for boots for my daughter, they had straight red ones. And I was very close to buying them. Simply so I could be like, you are pulling them off.
First off, yes.
Yes.
Second thing that really upsets me about him wearing the boots is the way he wears them. Because he tucks his jeans straight down into those boots.
Yep.
A true Western wearer of the boots of cow, you do. Yeah, I purposely said it that way for a reason. You do not tuck your fucking pants into your boots like that. Like, that is going to get you a straight punch in the mouth, and you're going to get roped, brazed, and sent back to New York State.
I mean, it is what it is, though, man.
Like,
you wouldn't be able to see the full glory of the boots.
Ooh, you ready for this one? Tell me you've never been out of New York State without telling me you've never been out of New York State. And then show a picture of Ted Brankett.
There it is. I like that. What else I like, the jokes that they make.
Oh, my God, him. They're great.
They come up with some classic Western movies that include red cowboy boots. And I wrote them down here. They did The Good, the Bad, and the Fabulous.
Which was my favorite.
The Magnificent Kevin. And No Country for Straight Men. Now, I was listening to the commentary, and apparently they had a whole bunch of different alts for this joke that obviously didn't make it. And they went through some of them, so I wrote them down here. They've got How the West Was Wonderful.
Ha, ha.
Sword Fight at the OK Corral. Three Men to Yuma. Which I thought was a good one, man. I thought that was clever. Once Upon a Time in the West Village. And Mail Rider. You know, instead of Pale Rider.
You went with that. I was thinking Easy Rider.
Oh, no.
It's a motorcycle movie, so.
Yeah, no. It's a play on Pale Rider. But, yeah. Wow.
And yet, not one shot. Or maybe it hadn't come out yet.
And what's funny, the Mail Rider one was what's his last name? It's Taryn. It's Kobe Smolder's boyfriend.
Oh, Taryn Terrell? Taryn Terrell.
Blauman.
Yeah.
Guy who plays Blauman. He came up with that one.
Nice.
And that's why they didn't use it. They're like, yeah, we admit it. We were petty. We were like, this guy's not even a writer on our show. We're not giving that to him.
Oh, shit. Fucking Blauman.
Yep, fucking Blauman.
They hate Blauman.
I mean,
they completely missed the opportunity, though, to take a shot at Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I don't think that one was out yet. I'm not 100% sure what year that came out. Let's take a quick dive here, folks. We're going to look at some Brokeback Mountain. Brokeback! And, you know what? 2005. It definitely was out.
So, yeah.
They could have done something with that. They could have just said Brokeback Mountain if they'd wanted to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they could have just said Brokeback Mountain, yeah. And they didn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they missed an opportunity.
Yeah, it's fair. Lily is sad about selling her clothes, and she decides, you know what? I could just sell my paintings instead. You know, it's a great idea.
And we loop back to the beginning of the episode where you can say something right 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
But that 1,001, you're going to mess up.
Yep. This
because
time,
Marshall.
Marshall.
Marshall, man, is many times. Although, I will defend him on this one. Lily's art is nice, but never once in the history of the show, except once, do we ever see her get paid for a painting.
Is that? I mean, see her get paid? We hear about her getting paid because Zoe buys paintings from her.
That's later in the show, though. Up till this point, though.
Up till this point,
the okay. Only painting we know that she has ever sold is the one Barney bought.
Yeah.
And that only happened because they found Marshall's nude art.
That's true.
And yeah. Barney decided he had to have one.
It's true. I mean, she flunked out of art school, you know, of the art program thing that she was doing.
Yep.
You know, like, I love Lily, but at this stage, I think a lot of what it is she's not confident enough in herself. For it. It's just like Pam from The Office. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember when they did the art show episode?
Yeah, and Michael buys the...
Yeah. Oscar and his boyfriend are there. And they don't know she's there. And they're like, she doesn't have the confidence and drive or whatever they say. It's kind of the same for Lily.
Yeah.
At this stage, it's almost like a hobby. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. It just, it kind of bugs me because like, I understand where Marshall's coming from at this point. You need $1,500, and you're going to be like, oh, let me take this basic fucking painting and sell it for $500. Most people are going to be like...
I mean, granted, it is New York City.
You're right.
You know, it is New York City.
Although,
people do buy a lot of not great stuff because they want to... seem fancy.
You know what I mean? You're 100% correct. I will address the other part of this that I want to address when we get to it in the episode, but like, to be continued.
Okay. But yeah, so Marshall definitely sticks his foot in his mouth there. But he agrees to give her a week to make this money to sell. She's going to, like you said, $500, try to sell 3 paintings.
Yeah.
He's going to give her a week to do it.
I mean, $1,500 in a week, that's stretching for a lot.
Yeah.
I don't even know people who work 40 hours and bring home $1,500.
Yeah. I mean, show me that job, please. You know what
show me the money.
Show me the money. So, the first thing that they do, Lily displays her art at a friend's gallery.
Yeah,
which I thought was funny because like a lady comes up to her and she's like, "Oh, I love it," but she's talking about her shirt. She's like, "I'm not selling my clothes."
I kind of wish we had seen Barney in the background doing one of his like,
like the Admiral or whatever it was.
Yeah. Van Schmoot is the. What is it?
It's the Admiral something like that. It's where he's the Ferdinand, something Ferdinand. I don't know. But it's like, yeah, he's got like the military.
The Archduke of Fenway.
The Archduke one. That's what it is, the Archduke. That would have been hilarious to have seen. Then they head over to a local coffee shop, which I love this scene just because the different ways between Robin and Ted to try to hype this pay. It's so hilarious to see them go back and
forth. I love the shit talk after Robin and Ted both try. Because, like, poor Robin's struggling. You can clearly tell she doesn't know shit about art.
The colors are neat. The brush strokes look neat.
Would you say it's more neat or neato burrito?
Oh, I love when she makes fun of the boots, and he's like, I'm pulling them off, and the entire shop laughs. Everybody. Oh, it's so funny. Interesting thing. That coffee shop is the exact same coffee shop from Swarley.
No shit.
Yeah.
So you know how every once in a while you shoot a scene differently in your head? You're like, oh, if I was going to do something, this is how I would have shot this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Watching, so, okay, I'm going to pull a Ted here. Watch this episode probably 1,000 times. First time in my life I've watched this episode and go, I would take a scene from another thing and add it into here because it would have been fucking hilarious. But it would have had to have been a background thing and drawn away from what they were doing. Okay. But it would have been, so imagine, they're having this conversation. The guy just kind of like stumbles past them. And you hear the coffee barista and they're like, hi, what can I get for you today? He's like, did you see the game? Because I was there. Roethlisberger was all like, huck it, chuck it, football.
That would be a fun combo of things. Yeah, I think that would be
cute
fun.
Cute dog.
I would have loved to have seen Marina Baccarin's character in the background. Because she was the barista in Swirly, you know? Yeah. I would have loved to have seen her in the coffee shop. I think that would have been really funny.
The only other thing I would have possibly done different is have them do like instead of bring her in, have Gunther behind the counter.
Merge shows.
Yeah, ooh. I mean, it's New York City, bro.
It's true.
You only got so many coffee shops. I mean, it's not like there's a Starbucks on every fucking corner.
Not yet. Give it a few years from
there. I was gonna say, like, give it like two, like, actually it's 2008, so I mean, yeah, they're getting there at that point.
Yeah, they're definitely getting there, just not quite there, you know.
Man, we're having so much fun with this episode. Let's keep going.
Hells yeah. So we flash back to Abby's place. She and Barney still in bed.
Still in bed, bro!
And they're talking about Ted now. Barney comes up with this idea to show Ted just how lame he gets when he's in a relationship.
Ted, also awesome, but lame.
I know I said it before, I mean, you made fun of me before, but she is so damn funny on this show.
Dude, she my God.
Like, I love her on this show so much. So much so that I want her to pop up on fucking How I Met Your Father.
I mean, never say never.
It's true. Oh, God. It would be. I mean, we had Meghan Trainor. Why not bring in Britney Spears? Let's do it. Come on, guys. Let's go. So we hop back over to Lily. She decides to sell her painting on the street this time.
Listen, this is probably my favorite one because I love the guy selling socks.
The crazy sock guy?
Crazy sock guy?
Yeah.
What are you selling yours for? So I can buy heroin?
I really
I really like heroin. And that even dude, if you sell your painting?
I've seen that guy. I've seen that guy in so many things. He is so fucking funny. He's such a good comedic actor. It's insane. And I loved him here. Yeah. I love where she's like, I feel like I'm probably not going to sell it. He's like, yeah, no, it's not very good.
Yeah.
He's just straight up with her.
I still like how he's like, even if you sell it, I'm probably going to steal your money and go buy heroin.
Yep.
Like, she's like, well, thanks for that.
Thanks for the honesty, crazy sock guy. Oh, man. But then she is as she's about to leave, she's approached by the G-Quacks, John. The gay couple without kids.
It took me a while. I'm not going to even deny this. I'm going to be 100% honest. I never understood what G-Quack stood for until today.
Oh, really? You never caught it on any other
never
watches?
Never caught it. I just assumed the G-Quack was some Doce Trepla that I couldn't figure out.
Gotcha.
And then it dawned on me today that they literally tell you it's a gay couple without kids.
Yeah.
G-Quack.
Yep.
And I was like, Oh man, I felt really dumb, but now I'm like, oh, G-Clock. Yeah, I know G-Clocks.
Yeah, man. Now you got. So do I. Yeah, absolutely. And they buy her painting for the $500. Yes, they do. She is so excited about it. You know,
and this is where I have a problem because she instantly goes to Marshall. Like they go next scene, she's in the bar, and she's like, "Oh, I'll give you a Lily original." And she's got a napkin, and she flips it, and it says, "Suck it."
Yeah.
And it's like, first off, you raised $500.
You sold one painting.
One fucking painting.
Yeah.
Stop being a cocky, arrogant bitch. You didn't raise the $1,500. You raised a third of that.
Yeah.
And that's a 33 and per. I can't even do it. I can't. Because I'm too far in my head about it. But just know.
But yeah, like, if she wanted to be cocky like that, she should have, like, you wait until you get it all. Yeah. And then you say, here's $1,500. Suck it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because. Yeah, okay, sure, you got $500, but if you don't sell another painting, then you're still out you're still down 1,000. You still gotta sell all your stuff. Like, it's plain and simple. But yeah, you know, the whole gloating and everything. Marshall takes it pretty well. So, you know what I mean?
I mean, he has to, man. He doesn't want her to sell her shit, and he's trying to be supportive after sticking his foot in his mouth.
That's true. And so Ted suggests that she call the G-Quacks to see if they'd be interested in, you know, some more of her paintings or like to sell to some of their other G-Quack friends and whatnot.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. After she heads off, we get Barney and Abby showing up in their matching powder blue outfits and khaki pants.
I love the sweaters that they're wearing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big sweater guy, but I'm like, I'd wear that.
Yeah, I like the color, definitely. And they're acting all cutesy, trying to show Ted what he's like.
Barney's wearing glasses.
Yes. Yeah, apparently I was listening to the commentary, and Jonathan Groff told the props people, was like, find some old like dad-type glasses. And apparently what they did is they looked at him and just got glasses that looked like his, because he apparently wears that style of glasses.
Ouch.
It made me laugh quite a bit when I was listening to the commentary. So, you know, they go through this whole thing. And to really kind of put a capper on this bit that he's doing, Barney decides to propose to Abby.
Oh, yeah.
Problem is, Abby doesn't know it's a bit.
I mean, Barney plays it off like it's a bit.
Yeah, well, she thinks the proposal part is real.
I'm wondering if he didn't tell her.
Probably not. I mean, Barney, probably not.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's Barney.
And so she runs off and calls her mom.
Called her mom.
And then we go back over to Lily. She's called up the G-Quacks and offers her other paintings to them, but is told that the only reason they bought it was for the frame. Which he says is an original Anton Kreitzer from the turn of the century. And I found out the name Anton Kreitzer was the name that Norm used as his alter ego in the Cheers episode, The Two Faces of Norm.
See, and that's what I'm talking about. That's why I love shit about this show. Mm-hmm. Little nods to everything.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. Because I was like, is Anton Kreitzer like a real guy? Like, what is this? I had to find out. No, nope, it was from Cheers. There it is, folks.
Give me a Norm.
I don't really have a good Norm.
No, I just mean like a Norm!
Oh. Turd!
Oh,
your name is not Norm. Your name is Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson.
There it is. and then they tell her that they actually threw her painting away, which I'm like, that's harsh, man. Real harsh.
I mean, here's my thing. If you were going to just trash the painting anyway, why not just tell her that then?
And yeah, then... why not just be like, we just want to buy the frame? So she may not have sold it to them. maybe that was their thing. They didn't want her to know that she had this like nice, because that thing was, honestly, that frame might have been worth $1,500 or more. And well, they got
it first. So here's my real question then, because like I didn't think about this until just now. How did she get their phone number? They did a cash transaction on the street.
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about it either. Yeah, she just happens to have their phone number for no real apparent reason. Huh. She opened up a phone book, looked up G-Clock. It's just in there. I mean, there you go, folks.
With the G-Clock start on 7th Camp from Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
And so now she's heartbroken about all this, and now she's forced to sell her stuff. And she's sitting on the couch, she's sitting there with Robin, whatever, she gets a sale from a Canada girl at MetroNews1.com.
Yep, bought one of her shirts, or no, it was a dress.
Yeah, while she was sitting there next to her,
listen, bought it online. I love what Robin says, though. It's still in the family.
Still in the family. Now, I want to keep track. I want to see if she wears this on the show.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
You know? Because I say this because in the next scene, Marshall and Ted, they burst in, right? And they reveal that they went to the G-Quack's apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And so we get this scene over there. The shirt that the main guy, Lawrence is his name, is wearing, they reuse that shirt later on in the show. In season 8, Robin's boyfriend Nick wears that exact shirt. If you go to Nick's fandom wiki page on the How I Met Your Mother fandom wiki, it's a picture of him in that exact shirt.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like, they obviously do use the wardrobe stuff over. So I think it would have been a cool thing if Robin winds up wearing this dress or whatever.
Fair.
I have to keep an eye out for it, man. We'll have to see. If any of you know, just off your heads, let us know. At Last Call, HIMYM. Picks or it didn't happen, though, folks. Sure. You know what the kids say. That shit's on fleek, right?
Totally on fleek.
I'm not even sure what that means.
Usually means it's on point.
Oh, okay. Well, then my statement is on fleek.
I mean, you know what kids fucking say. Fucking mint.
Fucking mint, folks. Fucking mint. And apparently, as we, I think, have learned before, gay guys love Marshall.
I mean, they do.
They do.
I love the fucking how he compliments him. Yeah, we're here about the painting my wife sold you. Apparently, you guys were just interested in the frame.
Like, it was the one with the nice frame.
The nice frame. Talk about a nice frame.
Yeah. But then Ted says, he's like, I got to ask you this. And he asks him about the boots. He's like, what do you think about the boots? And Lawrence gets his, I don't know if they're married or not at this point, because I don't honestly remember when gay marriage was legalized. I don't honestly know if they would be legally married at this point. But he gets his partner in, and he takes a second. He looks at it, pulling them off. And Ted, he's triumphant. He walks out. He goes back out to the cab. He's,
oh, yeah. Just instantly walks right back out.
Yeah, man. He is G-Quack approved, man.
I guess if you got a G-Quack approval.
That's all he needed, man. That's all Ted needed. He was looking for somebody. Somebody. Between his friends and the entire cafe laughing at him about these boots. I mean, he needed somebody. He needed a win on these boots. Because literally, that's his only storyline in this episode. That's it.
I just want somebody to hug me and say that everything is going to be all right.
It's boots and talking to Abby and Barney at the bar. That's his whole storyline is boots in that.
Boats and hoes,
Ted. Boats and hoes. So Marshall found out that they put it in the dumpster downstairs, but when he got there, it was gone. But the super told Marshall that he saw a doctor take the painting. So they decide to go visit this doctor to see, like, why did you take the painting, you know? And they find out it's a veterinarian. And he tells them that the painting seems to calm dogs down.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, you know, it gives, which is interesting because I think she's, I'm trying to remember if it's said in the episode or if it was said in the commentary. I don't honestly remember. But dogs are like, they don't see colors.
Yeah, I know. That's not mentioned in the episode, but okay. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, dogs are colorblind, so they're not seeing what we see.
Yeah.
So it could be something in the patterns that could just be. Calms them.
Yeah. But it does not calm birds, man. It bums them out. Oh, yeah, man. It makes them crazy. Because he tells this story. A bird pried open the cage and flew into a ceiling fan. It's like, God damn.
Well,
don't take your paintings to an aviary. Yeah. Or maybe do. Could be interesting. See what happens.
Right?
I don't know. We'll have an interesting time. And so the doctor agrees to buy 4 more paintings. Yeah.
All at $500 a piece.
Yeah.
Which gives them $2,000. And
well, $2,500 total because of the first five.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they wind up with an extra $1,000.
Yeah, which Marsha wants to reinvest into Lily in her art.
Yeah. And then he sets up a second website for her in this to sell her artwork to veterinarians. And it makes me wonder, is this artwork for veterinarians site the site that Zoe bought it on? You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't remember if they specifically say where she got the art from.
They don't.
So it makes I have to wonder if she got it off this website. I don't know. But then we get a bird smashing into the window.
Yeah. I love Marsha, though. Man, birds really don't understand you.
Mm-hmm. Reminded me of the cockamouse.
Yes.
The cockamouse smashes into the window. Yeah, that's what it made me think of.
Oh, man, that is such a great thing. Yeah. We're so far away.
Yeah. So the episode ends with Abby doing some wedding prep in her apartment. Barney comes over because he apparently forgot his tie there. Rookie move, first off.
Yeah, very rookie move.
Like, because that requires him to go back to the scene of the crime. Like, rookie mistake there, dude. Like, what are you doing?
I thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So he tells her that, you know, they're not getting married. You know, this, you know. But he says it's because Ted told him not to do it because he must still be in love with Abby. And then he gives Abby Ted's address and just leaves. The thing is, though, they set this kind of thing up, but we never see or hear from her again. Nothing. Like, she has Ted's home address.
Yep.
And she's madly in love.
We don't know that she actually has Ted's home address because she never shows up there.
I mean, I feel like because of how upset with Ted Barney was, I think he would have gave her the actual address.
I mean, maybe. But for all we know, he gave her the address to some crack den that's been abandoned. And she went in there to, you know, see Ted, got mugged, stabbed, and, you know, bled out.
I mean, you never know, man. Or maybe she married the crack
dealer. Oh, yeah. Married the crack dealer who looks like Ted Mosby.
Maybe.
Or maybe she met Ted Mosby, the porn star.
I was just thinking that. It's as close to Ted Mosby as she could get, so she took it.
Oh, she took it.
but she told him, she said, but I'm changing my last name to Mosby, so when they get married. So you're going to have to deal with that. Whatever the fuck his name was. I don't remember what his actual name was.
Not
like Kyle something, maybe. I don't even remember. He's Ted Mosby. That's all we need to know. Okay, so according to the commentary, the original ending for this episode was supposed to be Barney would go in and break off everything with Abby, and she would get really pissed off because of the fake proposal and continue to stalk him. That was how things were supposed to originally go. But apparently on the day of shooting, they rewrote that ending to what we got. And this is why writers on set are very important. I bring this up because we're in the middle of a writer's strike right now.
Just like we were during the season.
And this back half of the season happened after the last writer's strike. So like they were rushing to get everything done in the first place. And so like this is a reason why having those writers on set there being treated right is important. It's very impactful. And I just wanted to put that out there. So, yeah.
Just put yourself that was out there.
Okay. I'm here. What up, folks?
What up?
All right. So that is all for this episode. It's season 3, episode 19. Everything Must Go. John, what are your final thoughts on the episode?
A good episode.
Yeah.
It's funny, man.
It is.
It's start to finish. I laughed. I had a good time with it. Yeah. I don't hate this one.
Yeah. Anytime that we got to see Abby Brittany come in and play this character was always great. She's hilarious. And then the start of the boots is fantastic. I really enjoy this episode quite a bit. It's a fun one. It's a real fun one. All right. So now we talked about the episode, we've chit chatted, we've had some laughs, but now it's time to get serious, John. Because it's time for Barney's blog.
Suit up, bitches!
Yeah, that's right. All right, so for this one, we are taking a dive. We're going to fondle Barney's mail sack number 6. That's right, folks. We're going to fondle that sack. All right.
Want to touch the honey?
Yes. Okay, so this one starts off, Dear Barney, you know how you're always right about everything? You know how you have an uncanny ability to dispense with a theory with some words of wisdom that undoubtedly always prove right? And how you look really, really awesome in suits? Well, I can't believe I'm saying this because you've taught me so much and I owe you the world, but I think I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on serious relationships. See, I'm in a relationship with my doctor girlfriend, Zella Stinman. And the more serious we get, the more it seems like birds are singing, angels are jumping from cloud to cloud, and little kids are playing tiddlywinks in grassy fields or whatever they do. That seems so much more rewarding to me than how an awesome best friend has incredible sex with one hot chick one night, and then with a new and different hot chick the next night, and so on, ad infinitum. Is there something I'm missing? Med Toesby, New York, New York. Obviously, wow. Barney wrote this letter, quote unquote, using Ted's situation to make fun of him, which I thought was pretty funny. So he answers back. He says, Dear Med, yes, you're missing something fundamental. Observe. And he puts up a picture of a line graph where it's percentage of lameness to seriousness of relationship, and the line just kind of steadily goes. So as the more serious the relationship gets, the more lame that you become. And then it just says, get well soon, Barney. That's
wow.
It. Plain and simple.
Simple little blog today.
Yep. It's just that. And it's just his little dig at Ted.
I was going to say another little dig at Ted.
Yeah.
Damn.
Had to use it, or as this says, Med Toesby. So here you go, John. Ted Mosby, Med Toesby, Jed Mosley, or Jed Mosby. Who you got?
Oh, there's definitely a point where he's like, my name's Ted Mosby.
He totally did.
Oh, he said it.
He totally said it. shit. But yeah, so that, folks, that was Barney's blog for this week's episode. You got any extra thoughts?
I guess you could say Barney's sack was a little light.
Yeah, a little light in the sack there, Barney. You got anything else? Any last thoughts?
Sadly, I do not. I think this is a good episode.
All right, so then why don't you let everybody know where they can find you?
Listen, people, I say it every time. Twitter, go to Twitter. Find me on Facebook. Hell, one time I gave you all my phone number.
I cut that out of the episode.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I pulled it. I shot it. I put my phone number in the episode. Josh cut it.
I did cut it.
No wonder why I didn't get any text messages.
Yeah, I didn't want to risk that. That was early on. We didn't know what kind of crazies might be watching the show.
True. We still don't know what kind of crazies might be watching our show. But they're loyal.
They are. They are loyal.
And we love you people. We
absolutely love all you crazy.
So you're going to hop on over to Twitter at SimplySaneJ1, and you're going to just drop me a one-line message that says, "What up with that?
What up with that?" That's right. That's all you got to do, folks. You can follow me on Twitter at MovieBlogMerc. That's the Twitter page for my site, Merc and the Movie Blog.
I'm not
going to
do it.
You're not going to do it? Okay. Nope. Don't do it then.
I'm going to unfollow you right now.
You son of a bitch. Listen here, folks. If you're sick and tired of Terry Ferguson like I am.
Oh, heck, I'll fucking quit right now. Recast my position.
Then head over to Twitter at Turd Ferguson and unfollow that son of a bitch.
Oh, man.
Turd Ferguson J1. That's what it is. That's what it is. But yeah, if you are watching on the YouTube channel, you are watching on the American Movie Blog YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, click that little bell, wherever the fucker is.
And remember, if you're watching from your mobile device, you can use that little bell to set notifications to let you know when we drop our content.
Hells yeah, you can. If you're listening on audio, be sure to head over to anchor.fm/lastcall, HIMYM. Leave us a voice message there. We'd love to hear your beautiful or not so beautiful voices there. Ask us some questions. Leave us some comments. Tell us your concerns. Whatever. If it's good enough, I mean, I'll still probably put it on there. If you're like, "You guys suck ass," I'll still probably play it, and then we'll talk about it, and we'll make fun of your voice for it.
I mean, just Josh that might just suck an ass once in a blue moon. You can't discriminate.
Hey, man, until you've tried it, don't come at me.
Or maybe you can for a couple grand. Who knows?
You can. Sure.
We'll hammer that out in the fine details.
And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts and you like what you're hearing, you can leave us a 5-star review, and we will read that out on air as well. Be sure to hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Last Call, HIMYM. And I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
In my head, I'm just thinking, man, if they really like us reading shit out, jump on over at Patreon. I'll read you a book. I'll be like, Golden Snitch Pin.
There it is.
Warning, choking hazard. Not for children under 3 years old. Made in China.
It's like your own version of an ASMR. There you go.
Listen, I'm going to say it nicely today. You don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
All right. Catch you guys next time.